ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter. I will begin reading in verse number 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity. We can come. We can this morning worship in spirit and in truth. We can look into your word, and Father, we appreciate the freedoms we enjoy in this nation to be able to do that. We pray that this morning that we will continue in this nation to be a nation that allows us to worship you. We ask you this morning to bless those who protect those freedoms and guard them around the world. We ask you this morning to be with these that are on our prayer list, and we pray especially for this one that's lost the mother and lost the spouse and lost today a friend, and as the passing away of one of thy children, Lord, today, we know that it's difficult in this walk of life, but Father, we thank you that you have made provision for the life to come. And Father, I thank you this morning now for these that have come. I ask your richest blessing upon them, and we'll praise you through eternity in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. It was a church that I went to one time, and after the service, they had a little place out in the foyer where they would had a coffee pot, and the people were getting coffee as they went by. And so I'd never seen anything like that, and so I asked a little boy, I said, why are they serving coffee? He said, so everybody be awake going home. As you read this text this morning, you find some disciples here that couldn't stay awake. We also read today of a praying Savior. And as he prays a specific prayer. You know, sometimes we fail to pray that specific prayer. I think this morning sometimes we need to realize that God is not really impressed with our vocabulary, and he's not impressed this morning with how many words we pray. We're simply, as we sang a moment ago, to take it to the Lord in prayer. And here our Lord, the praying Savior, the one who often spent all night in prayer, here was praying a very simple prayer. And he was praying that, Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to have to drink of the bitter cup that you placed before me. But Lord, if it be thy will, I will drink it. Now you find that he prayed this particular prayer three different times in our passage this morning. He prayed it in verse number 39. Then he prayed it again in verse 42. And verse 44 said he prayed again a third time, saying the same words. And so this morning, as you look at this, and we often think about as Jesus prayed here in the garden, what was he seeing in this cup? What was in the cup that God had asked Jesus to drink? And as he looked into this cup, he was, the Bible said, exceeding heavy and exceeding sorrowful. And as he looked into this cup, he prayed that, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Well, as we look into this cup this morning, I want to show you just a few things that I believe that when Jesus looked into the bitter cup about which he was about to drink this morning, and how this morning and why he would pray such a prayer. I think the first thing that he saw as he looked into this cup was the sin of the world. You see, in this cup that Jesus was looking in this morning was the sins of the whole world. Every sin that's ever been committed, all the sins of the world is in this cup Jesus was about to partake of. The Bible says that he is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the entire world, of the whole world this morning. Over in Atlanta, Georgia, there's a place called the Center for Disease Control, and there the United States government has a great complex, and they study all different kinds of diseases. And there they have stored in many of those rooms the different viruses and germs and bacteria and plagues that people have had down through the years, and they study those and try to find solutions for those problems. Now, you think this morning about going into that particular center today and having no type of protective clothing on, no type of breathing apparatus on. There you walk in the midst of every germ, every plague, every bacteria, and every virus that's ever been known to man today. And you partake of every one of those viruses and germs and bacteria. That's what Jesus was looking at this morning as he looked into this cup. He was looking at the sin of Adam when he sinned today in the Garden of Eden and partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was looking this morning at the sin of Cain as he killed his brother as they were walking and talking in the field. He was this morning bearing the sins as David sinned with Bathsheba this morning. He was taking on the sin of the whole world. Every sin that we can imagine today, every sin you've ever committed and every sin I've ever committed today, Jesus was looking in the cup at that sin. Every abortion, every murder, every atrocity, every evil act today, Jesus today was looking into the bitter cup of sin this morning. And he was about to partake of this bitter cup. You see, the Bible says that Jesus this morning must drink that cup. Why? Because, you see, the Bible says that he became sin for us. He became sin for us. Now, you think about that today. Jesus became sin for us. You know, we could this morning bring a box out here and we could stack it. We could put liquor bottles and we could put drug syringes and we could put child abuse pictures and we could find this morning every kind of sin we could think of and put into that box. And that's what Jesus became this morning. He literally became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As I think this morning of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he looks into this cup, as here is the sinless Son of God. Here is the one today that was pure and the only one that was ever totally and completely righteous. A man who knew no sin, who had never committed any sin. And yet he looks into the bitter cup of every sin that every human being had ever committed. And he was about to drink of that sin and bear that sin in his own body on the tree. He was about to become sin for all of humanity. And I can imagine this morning as he looked into that cup, how agonizing that was. I can imagine today as he looked into that cup and he had to pray this prayer, Lord, I know this cup has to be drank. But Lord, if there's any other way, if there's anything we can do, Lord, I really don't want to have to do this. Father, I don't want to have to drink this cup. But not my will, but thine be done. I want you to think about that today, and I want you to get real personal for just a moment. And you look back over your life just in a brief moment of time, and you think of the sins you've committed. You think today of the things that you've done and the sinful acts that have come into your life. You see, Jesus was partaking of that sin. He was becoming sin for you this morning. He was becoming sin for me. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He had to drink the bitter cup of sin. Every sin of this world was in that cup today. Not only did he see the sin of the world, I believe he saw separation from the Father. Separation from the Father. Jesus today, for the first time, was about to be separated from his Father. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to die. The Bible said that his soul was going to descend into the depths of hell. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he would be separated from God the Father and have no fellowship with the Father whatsoever. He had never been separated from the Father before. People talk about the Trinity, and I certainly believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe today there are three in one, but yet they're separate beings also. Somebody says, how can you understand that? I can't understand it. Neither can you, and neither can anybody else. That's God's problem today. God did that. I can't understand it. I simply believe it today. And here, somehow, some way, there's a separation of the Godhead. Here's the Son being separated from God the Father. He's being separated this morning and cut off from the God the Father this morning. You know, he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now think about that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was abandoned. Now listen, he was abandoned by God today. He was separated from the Father. I want you to think for just a moment. Suppose that you as a child, a young man or a young lady, committed a sin, did something very bad. And when you went to see your father, he shut the door in your face and said, I don't ever want to see you again. How would that feel today? The person who had loved you and nurtured you, protected you and cared for you, suddenly says, you're not my child anymore. Shuts the door. Get away from me. You're now abandoned by your earthly father. You see, that's what happened to Jesus. The Father said, I can't have any fellowship with you. You've become sin. You're separated from me. It's a great picture of what's going to happen to every man, woman, boy, girl that dies without Christ one of these days. They're going to be separated from God. You know, a lot of people, I'm going to touch on this in just a moment, but a lot of people think they won't be abandoned by God, but one day, God who spared not his own son, he cut off fellowship with Jesus. Jesus no longer had fellowship with the Father. Well, that would be a hard thing, wouldn't it? You think about that today. Think of the Father. The Father had to abandon him. Jesus had to face that abandonment, and he looked into that cup, and he saw, if I do this, I'm going to be abandoned by the Father. I'm going to be separated from God. And not only did he see the sin of the world and the separation from the Father, but I believe this morning that he saw the shame of the cross. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, as he talks there about the cross of Christ, And he says in chapter 12 and verse number 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame of the cross. I'm not saying today we should be ashamed of the cross. But what I'm saying to you is Jesus looked in this cup. He saw the shame of the cross. He saw how cruelly he was about to be treated. Now, I want to be honest and fair with you today. I have to say that I don't know that anybody ever really gets a true picture of Jesus on the cross. I think it would be so offensive that it would be so gory. I don't know if we could stand it in some ways or not, ladies and gentlemen. Now, don't misunderstand me, but we see these pictures of Jesus hanging upon a cross, and we see the Easter lilies, and we see the banners, and we see all of these things. But may I tell you, that's not what it was like. Jesus today was shamefully treated. The Bible says that his visage was so marred that you wouldn't even be able to tell that he was a person. Now you think about that. What does that mean, you say? They had beaten him with a cat of nine tails. They had placed a crown of thorns upon his head. They, this morning, had made him a bloody pulp. I'm not trying to be ugly, folks. I'm telling you, the shame of the cross was horrible. He had not one stitch of clothes on his body. He had been stripped completely naked and beaten with a cat of nine tails. Hit repeatedly with other objects. A crown of thorns pushed down upon his head until those thorns would let the blood flow. And you couldn't even tell he was a person. And Jesus looked and saw the shame of that. He saw how he was going to be cruelly treated. Here's the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they treated him so shamefully. They mocked him and scorned him and made fun of him and laughed, gambled for his clothes. Not only that, he saw there as he looked into that cup, I believe that he saw of those that would be gathered around Golgotha, around the cross, up around Calvary. There's his mother. There's his mother. The one who had bore him through her virgin womb. The one who had loved him as a little baby and rocked him in the cradle, laid him in a manger. She was about to see her son shamefully. His disciples, all those whom he had ministered to this morning. He was shamefully treated upon the cross. He bore the shame of the world. He was bearing our punishment. He was dying for us. He was taking what we deserved. The Bible says that he never committed one sin, even the Roman governor, Pilate, had to say, I find no fault in him. He's done nothing worthy to go to the cross. He's done nothing worthy to be beaten. He's done nothing worthy to be shamed. But yet Jesus bore the shame of the world on that cross that day, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what he prayed? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You think about that amazing prayer right there. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so Jesus is looking into this cup and he sees the shame of the cross. and he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Is there any other way? But even as I look into this cup, Lord, not as I will, but as you will." Because you see, I believe that Jesus looked deep into that cup and he saw one other thing today that I want to share with you. And he saw the salvation of souls. As he looked into that cup, he saw the only way for people to be reconciled to God. For the only way for people to be forgiven of their sins. The only way people could ever be allowed in the presence of God and go into heaven was for him to drink this bitter cup and go to the cross of Calvary. You see, there was no other way. There was no other way. You know, sometime in life, you and I face situations and we're going to have to do things, and sometimes we have a backup plan. You know, if this doesn't work, well, we'll go to plan B. Sometimes I get all the way up to E or F and still doesn't work. But I want you to understand something. With God, there was no backup plan. This was it. There is no other way. The only way a man could ever be reconciled to God, the only way he could ever have his sins forgiven, the only way he could ever walk through the pearly gate of glory was for Jesus to drink this bitter cup. That's it. There is no other way. You see, a lot of people today want to bypass this. They think, well, I'm an honest person. I'm a good individual. I do a lot of good in my community. I'm a good neighbor. So I don't have to go by the way of the cross. A lot of people think, well, I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized and made a member of the body. And so therefore, I don't have to worry about it. We could go on and on, and the list would be enormous today of what people think is going to get them to glory. Some people think God's simply going to overlook them, that they're so special, they're so great. Many years ago when I was pastoring a church over in Alabama, Bob James was the governor of the state at that time, and they asked him during one of the campaigns about his faith, about was he a Christian, and he said, well, he didn't know if he was a Christian or not, but his mom and wife were good enough Christians, and that would be good enough he'd get in on their merit. I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, once again, when you look at this bitter cup, Jesus saw the only way for me, the only way for you, the only way for all of humanity was to come and for him to drink of that bitter cup today. You see, sometimes people are remarkably talented sometimes, and you can watch a television program or maybe a movie. I don't see many movies, but and they'll have somebody that's not a Christian. And they're doing all of these things, and it'll show in the show, and it'll begin to make you think, well, God let them in. You know, but they're so talented, they can move your mind. And folks will say, well, you know, why do you think Muslims won't go to heaven? Well, asked me not long ago, he said, well, Muslims go to hell? I said, sure, Muslims go to hell. I'm not being ugly, because the only way to heaven today is not through Muhammad. It's through Jesus drinking that bitter cup this morning. Understand that. There was no other way. As I said a moment ago, Paul said that God didn't spare his son, so don't expect him to spare you. He's not going to overlook me He's not going to overlook you. He's not going to overlook anybody. Jesus had to drink of the bitter cup. And you see, the bitter cup that Jesus drank of speaks volumes to us this morning. We're not ever going to be given an opportunity to be saved any other way. Some people think you can light candles and you can pray for the dead and they'll be in a place called purgatory. And if you can give enough gifts and pray enough prayers and light enough candles, God will let them out of purgatory. I'm sorry to report to you, ladies and gentlemen, your final destination is sealed with your final breath. And the only way you'll go into the presence of God is because Jesus was willing to drink of this bitter cup this morning. You see, Jesus had to be made sin. Jesus had to be separated from the Father. And Jesus had to die upon the cross for us to be saved. But on the cross, the final words that he spoke, "It is finished." The New Testament, of course, was written in the language of the Greeks. And in the Greek, the word is one simple word, teletestai. It is finished. And when Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. We are saved. We are forgiven. We can go to heaven because of the bitter cup Jesus was willing to drink today. But there is no other way this morning. You see, the battle is won. The war is over. And Paul, as he wrote the church at Philippi, and he said some of the greatest words that have ever been written, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He drank the bitter cup. And this morning, Jesus is Lord. And there is no other way. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever born into this world will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. You say, "Now wait a minute, preacher. Let me tell you something. This morning you can bow your knee here in this walk of life and say, 'Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blood. I acknowledge you as my Savior and my Lord.'" And you can be saved and spend eternity with God. But if you say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that." One day, they're going to bring you out of the lake of fire. They're going to bring you out of hell. And you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And there you're going to bow your knee then and say, "Jesus is Lord." Every man, woman, boy, or girl, the Bible says every tongue would confess it. It's either here or then. Jesus drank the bitter cup. He died for us. And this morning, he looks and says, "Now I can invite every man, woman, boy, or girl to come unto me, and him that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Is Jesus your Savior this morning? All right, you stand together with me. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His wonderful holy name we pray. Amen.